So are you thinking about homeschooling for college credit? There's a lot to decide before you decide if you want to jump in or not. I have a lot of respect for those parents who have to make hard educational decisions for their kids. I've met many families who started homeschooling later in life, and sometimes I've even encountered people who started homeschooling in high school. Now, I personally have avoided a lot of those struggles since we homeschooled from the start. So I never had to take that position of changing direction with my kids' education. And it was easy to just kind of keep doing what we had been doing. But I will tell you, if you're homeschooling and you're approaching high school, that can make even the most confident homeschoolers panic. So I totally understand. When we first told our family and friends that we were going to homeschool our oldest son for preschool, this was back in the 90s, homeschooling wasn't common like it is now. In the 90s, only about 1% of school-aged children were homeschooled, but today it's about 6%, and a lot of that's due to COVID. But in North Carolina, where I live now, there are more homeschooled students than there are private school students. So homeschooling is very, very popular in my area, but it varies all over the country. If you live in an area that's very supportive, it's going to help you decide tremendously whether or not this is going to work for you. In my early days as a homeschool parent, I really didn't have a lot of support. I didn't fully grasp the extent of what homeschooling was going to mean for our family long term. I think most people assumed that we would eventually send our kids to school, but school registrations came and went, and little by little, we became a full-fledged homeschool family. So as I grew comfortable as their teacher and my kids began to read, I did know, or I had a sense, that we would be able to do this for years to come. But when people would ask me how long we plan to homeschool, I always answered the same way. I said, as long as it works. And I gave that answer for 28 years. But hindsight is 20/20, because when my oldest son was in middle school, I was in a panic. High school was coming up on us so quickly. And multiple friends and family members, they noticed this too. And many people suggested that high school was a good time for us to transition out of homeschooling and into high school. But I really wasn't worried about the academics. They were the least of my fears. Many homeschool families, when they get started, they worry about the academics. But I had some traction, and I knew at this time where to find curriculum. I knew where to find support. But what I felt inequipped with was how to be their high school guidance counselor. And so that was really the fork in the road for me as a parent. When you decide to move forward and you're going through high school, new issues really present themselves. You have things in high school that you didn't have to do before. So creating a transcript, documenting their high school credit, figuring out a grade point average every year and a cumulative one at the end, standardized test taking, preparing for those, recording those, which tests to take, college prep courses, perhaps even remedial courses that you have to work in if your student's behind on grade level, career decisions, graduation, what the laws are, getting them ready with college applications. There are so many things that you're going to be faced with in high school that I do think it's normal for a lot of parents to panic about that. But I would say for me, high school was probably the scariest aspect of homeschooling, and that was over, like I said, over 28 years as a homeschool mom. So I don't undervalue that fear at all. I know that it's very real. But the thing that was maybe the scariest piece for me was not that I couldn't learn to do those things, but I felt like someone significant would get to evaluate my ability to run our homeschool. And this would be, of course, the college admissions department. They would get to decide my teen's future based on whether or not I did a decent job for the past 17 years. So the worst part about that, of course, is that there's no do-over if you mess up. So no pressure. But I was ready to bail when I read a fascinating book by a homeschool teen. and he had tested out of his bachelor's degree. He did the majority of it while he was still in high school. And I didn't have any experience with distance learning at that time. I didn't understand anything, you know, accelerated or non-traditional, but I became very excited, very intrigued and encouraged. I knew that at least one person had walked this path successfully, and he documented it. He put it in print. And I really live and breathe in the belief that if you can do it, I can do it. And so I wanted to know how to do it. I wanted to know how it could be done. And so at that time, traditional homeschooling books rarely addressed that transition from high school to college. The conventional college books hardly addressed homeschooling. So the books that I read, that book that I read that day was really a game changer for me as a parent, because it helped me see that there were more ideas out there than what the mainstream media was presenting. And if there are more ideas, maybe there were ideas that could work for us. So the book was so important. And education is more accessible than ever. Homeschooling is more common. Community support exists. So I was very, very encouraged by reading that book. I hope that Homeschooling for College Credit serves as that encouragement for you as well. But I don't want to jump ahead for that. As you start to research homeschooling and high school and college and all of that, you will notice that every helpful source out there has some kind of a bias. But, you know, why is this? Well, because these are people. Homeschools, high schools, and colleges don't have opinions. Those are entities, right? But those are all made up of people, and people are human. People have a tendency to, you know, recommend their alma mater or recommend where, you know, the school in their state or the school that, you know, Billy's neighbor's sister's friend was accepted to. I mean, college-bound people, like, you know, if you, as a parent here, when you were pregnant, if you can remember, it's just like that, you know, knowing that your teen is college-bound, you're just inviting this commentary from everyone, and people will flood you with advice. Everyone is ready to tell you what to do and how to do it. So in some ways, you might be used to this kind of help. If you've been homeschooling for a lot of years, you've probably already fielded a lot of questions and, you know, gotten a lot of advice from well-meaning people and maybe some not so well-meaning people. But I do want to discuss some of these biases, because you're going to encounter these and they're going to perhaps cloud your judgment as far as whether or not you'll want to homeschool for college credit. So something that you might not expect right away, but the first bias is going to come from college admissions and tour guides. Now, these guys are going to be the most biased. Obviously, a college admissions counselor or salesperson is part of a sales team of a college. Their job description is to enroll or recruit students into their institution. So as your teen's guidance counselor, you need to be able to help them discern between what's a college's sales pitch and what are the facts. So sales pitches can come from campus tours, email, TikTok. It might be during a free webinar. Your teen might get flooded with merchandise like bumper stickers and t-shirts and pens and all of that. And I can tell you as a college administrator, I cannot emphasize enough how strongly you should not focus on what your teens are told or promised during these pitches, but instead you're going to need to see information in writing. That's how you're going to find out the truth and kind of get through some of that bias. Every single day over at Homeschooling for College Credit, literally every day, I am asked to help a parent unravel something that they were told by a college employee or a tour guide or someone at a college fair. And it, you know, about college credit or freshman applications or transfer status or things like that. So there are a lot of unique nuances when your student earns college credit in high school, because your teen is not turning into a transfer student. And so often you, as you begin to understand all of this, you may be more informed than the person that's actually giving the tour or the webinar. And remember, colleges are never deliberately giving you the wrong information, right? But this is tough stuff. So my advice on that is just enjoy the tour, get your merch, but look up the academic questions in the college catalog and their policies, because that's where you're going to find the facts. So another bias that you're going to hear a lot from is in the debate between the trade occupations and the traditional four-year college degree plans in arts and sciences. This debate is so alive and well, and many people have very strong opinions. So this is something that you're going to want to think about as you're moving forward with your teen. There are ways to earn college credit in the trades, and there are ways to earn college credit in the arts and sciences. So you don't have to choose. But just know that many of the trade careers, like the two-year degrees in things like plumbing, automotive, culinary arts, or whatever, those programs are usually open to students who are in high school. So there are going to be a lot of pros and cons to both of those, but just know that you can do either one. You don't only have to send your student to a four-year college or university to find out ways to use college credit. And then finally, let's talk about my bias. I have a bias, but you're listening to me because you're interested in my advice or my bias, right? So my bias comes from three main places, three main sets of information. First is the facts. So I am a little bit fact-finding obsessed when it comes to things like college and higher education, student loan reports, alternative college credit news, things like that. I'm always looking for strategies and workarounds and to better understand accreditation and college policy, you name it, and I am studying it. So I need to be up to the minute. I need to be an expert in this industry. And so that requires me to be a student every single day. That's how I learn these trends, and that's how I learn to be able to put all of this information through the lens of a homeschooling family. And the next is my peer review bias. So I have a peer review network around me. Peer review is when you have people who know what they're talking about, help you with what problem you're trying to solve. So for instance, I wouldn't be able to help you find a flaw in your technical diagram because it's not my field. I don't know anything about it. I would miss that mistake. You could tell me that it was accurate and I would believe you. So this is especially true when you're talking about something complicated like homeschooling for college credit. It's very important to have peers around you, and I have peers around me, who know their stuff because they help you find those mistakes. So homeschooling for college credit has 50 different experts who are all volunteers, just like me. We volunteer our time every day, all day. And if any of us makes a mistake in our advice, or misunderstands a policy, or we misapply a line of thinking, or something changes, we catch it because we see each other working those problems, and we do that in a very transparent way. So if you're reading something on the Homeschooling for College Credit website, or if you're taking one of our classes or listening to an audio or a book, you can be sure that that's been peer reviewed by people who know that their stuff. That's the only way that we can make sure that our content is good and worth your time. And then finally, the last way that I like to develop my advice is by jumping into the question and answer mode for our Facebook groups. So Homeschooling for College Credit has 60 Facebook groups. We have 50, one in each of the states. And then we have 10 groups that are special groups for special situations. So I am constantly scanning for questions and problems. I'm looking for things like inconsistencies in college policies, transfer credit snags, enrollment mistakes, and all of this collaboration between all of the families. And we have 59,000 families, and every state has different homeschooling laws. I mean, so we're talking about a mammoth amount of information, but it's not enough to know something. It is so important that you learn how to apply that knowledge properly. So yes, I have opinions and I have biases, and my approach is guided heavily by facts and experience, and I own what I write and I say because I want you to know that I am trying to maintain the highest level of integrity. And so I'll call my opinions opinions. I'll do that throughout this podcast. And when I source a fact, I'll call it a fact. In other words, I hope that homeschooling for college credit can be a source that you can trust.